Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! And welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my wonderful co-host. I've got the cool as always, Claude9.
Hello. Hi, I'm surprised I'm first.
Oh, I messed it up. Oopsie doodle. Oopsie doodle. And we've got the knowledgeable, as always, R Sigma.
Howdy!
And we're here today to bring you another episode of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And boy, howdy, there's nothing in between right now.
Hey, at least there's news this week.
That's true. There is some good news this week, but we also got, like, you know how, like, we had, like, this, like, minor renaissance of, like, side games that came out, and then they're just like, how about we stop? And it makes me sad.
I think we picked COVID time. Like, this is where COVID really messed with timings, so.
You're probably not entirely wrong, because we got new Pokemon Snap, which was great. And we got Pokemon Mystery Dungeon DX, which was also great. I would love to see the one that I really hope they remake, like, Explorers of Sky. Like, Explorers of Sky DX would be really cool, mostly because I've never played it, and I don't know what it is, but I can't bring myself to, like, play it on DS.
That's fair.
And
yeah,
I don't know why. I don't know why it is, because, like, I think the little, like, sprite art is really cute, but there's just something about, like, reading it on the 3DS and not reading it on my Switch that I don't like. I don't know.
I'm really surprised nothing came from the, like, website data mine before Pokemon Day.
Yeah.
With the the Mystery Dungeon guys being on listed on the site as, like, a thank you, and nothing came from that. That's kind of weird, but
that is weird. I wonder if they were going to announce something, but they're like, we're not ready yet.
Yeah, it's like, well, we can't guarantee it's coming, and
I'm surprised we haven't gotten, like, a Pokemon Direct announcement yet.
That is a little odd, isn't it?
Especially with, like, Home coming out. Like, I was kind of expecting at this point.
Yeah, I was expecting Home to be in a
Direct, right?
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen, or Pokemon Presents, they don't call it Directs anymore.
Yeah. A present with, like, actual footage from the DLC and the first release date is what I expect soon, so.
I expect that probably, like, early to sometime in June, like, the month of June.
It could be next week, for all I know, and that's, I wouldn't
be
shocked.
Yeah, what's the announcement?
But I wouldn't be surprised if there was something next week, but I don't see them announcing Home separately from that, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm surprised there is no video to explain the Home functionality.
I mean, Home's not that exciting to them. It's just exciting for the fan base.
Yeah, that is true. I do think that Home is, like, very exciting, and I'm surprised that they didn't do more for it. I don't know. Like, because it's, even in their presentations before, like, they've kind of made a big deal of, like, how the transfer works, right? They give you, like, a 2-minute spiel.
This one's,
I'm like, this is how the transfer works.
We don't know exactly, but that's, we'll get to that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
and there's a lot of questions about it, too, because if you think about, I mean, we'll talk about this in the segment, but, or in the news.
Yeah.
I think of, like, how Scald is gone, but it's only gone because the TR for it isn't in the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused about. I'm very interested to see how that works, but we'll find out. It's right
we
now
will.
Ubiquitous.
Well, my assumption for Scald is that we're going to get it back in, like, DLC. It's going to be, like, a DLC move or something stupid. I mean, Scald was also kind of dumb in competitive for a little bit. So, I mean, there was that whole debacle for, like, a couple of years where, like, there was just a separate UU tier that said UU no Scald. So, which was kind of weird, but It's all right. No, this is very exciting, though. Like, this today's like a good day. It's a good Pokemon day.
Mm-hmm.
You guys been up to anything other than me, like, playing TCG?
I mean, I've been shiny hunting. I've got a lot of the Paldea Pokemon.
I've been playing Little Cup.
Ooh.
Man. Yeah, I've just been, like, I played some TCG this week, and so to be fair, I've also been really bad, and I've been playing Little Cup a lot.
Yes, Little Cup.
It started because, like, I'm like, maybe I can make the suspect test, and then I was like, I don't really want to do work that hard. But I've been playing Little Cup. I love Little Cup. Like, that's my favorite tier of all time. It is so fun and balanced. I think it's going to be better now that Diglett got banned.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a big proponent up until this gen of, like, do not ban Diglett. You're just all mad and salty. And then I played this one, and I'm like, yeah, Diglett needs to go. Diglett was oppressive.
I don't think Home actually is going to affect Little Cup too much, depending on if Grookey gets Grassy Glide from transfer. That's essentially where it's going to be.
If it does, then Diglett can be unbanned, IMO.
I don't want it to happen at all.
Like, Grookey's the one thing that matters, so... I don't think Galarian Slowpoke matters or Grimer matters or
Alolan Grimer matters.
Alolan Grimer's good? Okay. Mm-hmm. I have no clue if Grimer's good. It's been a while since Grimer's been in Little Cup, so.
I joined a Little Cup like draft tour. So, and I just made it out of pool, so I'm really excited to see how things go.
I'll join Little Cup Piddle any day.
But like I'm really excited because like there are things that are gonna come back that might be good, like the ponies.
Oh, the pony? Wait, oh yeah.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah. In DLC, 100%.
Or Abra.
The ponies, Abra, are, you know, very
those
good.
Are missing. Those are missing. I do like that. Yeah, that 19 speed tier, you know?
Yeah.
You need it all day, every day.
I assume that Hisui and Sneasel got spanned relatively quickly.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah yes. Sure. Yes. No, because Sneasel itself would just get banned.
Assuming Basculin, Quillfish, and Sneasel all are gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not like sure. Sneasel has been banned for like years. Like essentially since Little Cup's inception, Sneasel's been out.
Yeah, I mean
Sneasel and Yanma, I think, were the two.
When Pokemon does their official one, like they usually ban Sneasel
and Lickitung.
Well, they ban things that don't have.
No, Lickitung's in. Lickitung's not a problem.
No, for their official one.
Oh, that's right. Lickitung was out for a little while, but it came back.
When he got power crept out back in.
Mm-hmm. Like, they block things that didn't evolve originally. So it's like, oh, you got an evolution later, then you don't get to be in Little Cup. Sorry.
I think that's fair. They didn't enforce that at NAIC one year, North American International Championships, because they used to have side events, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, fun side events where you could play, like, Little Cup and stuff like that. But nothing was enforced in those. And so, like, even though, like, the rules were posted, and they're just like, no Scyther, no this, no that, right? I get into my first match because, like, I build a team. I'm like, I'm ready for Little Cup. I'm here for this. And then my first opponent just, like, throws out a Scyther, and I'm like, well, I'm glad we're here today.
Did you tell them that it's banned and they can't have it?
Yeah, I did, but, not, like, the judge was like, meh, play on. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. 510 BST in a Little Cup tournament. That sounds completely fair. That's more than most evolved Pokemon have.
Yeah, I know, right? I was just like, oh,
there's a reason Scyther doesn't gain stats on evolution. Like,
yeah, right? But yeah, it was awful. It was awful. But yeah, I was really bad this week. You know what I did this week? And you're both going to cringe.
What did you do this week?
I bought a playset of Boss's Orders Full Art Giovanni's.
Nice. Why?
Flex Bling.
I mean, okay. How much was it?
I don't know if I want to reveal that.
Okay, then I'll go look it up.
They're up to like 35, 40 bucks a card.
What?
You should have probably waited like a month for the Getsis ones to come out and then switched.
I don't know if the Getsis, I don't think the Getsis is going to drop it because, like, if you look at the price history, these things are just creeping up. Like, because I was going to do this, I was going to buy a playset of them like 3 or 4 months ago, and they went back when they were like 20 bucks a card. And then I was like, nah. And then they went up to like 30 bucks a card. And I was like, maybe. And then it just went up to 40. I'm like, I'm pulling the trigger before these are like 50, 60 bucks a card.
Okay, that's fair. I think having a playset of full art bosses or professors is good. So,
I have a full art. I have the professors because Professor Oak is dirt cheap. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. He was
most of them are actually dirt cheap.
Celebrations.
I think most of them are dirt cheap, except for, except for Sada right now.
I believe that.
Yep. Sada, I think, is like $10 or $12, I think.
And that's still not awful, but yeah.
But the rest of them are, I don't think any of them are over like $3.
That's because no one cares about having the old lady on their professors.
I mean all of them, though, like, because there's a lot of them. There's a lot. The one that's annoying is, like, the ones that, so, like, I really like the Professor Oak. I own a place out of the Professor Oak, Professor's Research, but they put that stamp on it, and it makes it ugly.
Well, the Go, yeah. I think the Rainbow Gold, the Rainbow Pokemon Professor from Go is expensive. Yes.
Professor's Research with the stamp, because I have a full art Willow as well, and it also has a stamp, and it makes me sad.
I feel like if Sycamore had a full art, it would probably be one of the more expensive ones, but...
Oh, absolutely. That's going to happen. It's just not yet.
Not yet, but it's going to happen. I would invest in Sycamores. I like Sycamore.
I'm honestly surprised at how cheap Junipers are. Like,
especially since they were all in, like, they weren't in packs. That's the weird part about them.
No, they weren't. They were all in those, like, milk cartons.
Yeah.
They were all in milk cartons, and they're like... Yeah, they're down to $2-3 right now. It's like nothing.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, the only Professor's Research that's over like $3 right now is Sada.
And
Rainbow Go, but that's because it's Rainbow.
Well, nobody cares about Rainbow. That's collectors. That's a collector thing.
Yeah, it's a I've never seen anybody play with a rainbow card.
The Violet Professor is four.
He's like three-ish to four.
He's 390. Yeah. I mean, even old lady is 390.
Yeah, but it's not that bad. Well, okay, Professor Magnolia is like, okay, in terms of like Pokemon professors, Professor Magnolia is just like very underwhelming. She plays literally no role in that game.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's why she's not expensive. She was the first one, but
she was the first and the worst one. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, she was the first full art one, and no.
Yeah, nobody cares.
No one cares.
See, I'm surprised, because I like the Cyrus boss more than I like the Giovanni boss.
I think the Cyrus boss looks cool.
The Cyrus boss is really nice. I will probably also get myself a playset of that, just so I can have one for whatever I feel like.
See, and here I am feeling bad that I went to Target to buy the $10 Ampharos deck just for Ampharos.
I bought two. One for Ampharos for me, and one Ampharos for my wife's binder. So, we're both terrible, Claude. We're both terrible. All right, well, I'm going to cut us off from talking about our poor spending habits.
Yes, please.
And we're going to go ahead, and we're going to kick it on over to the news. Let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things, and the most exciting one is that Pokemon Home.
Woohoo!
Updates on the 24th, 23rd for the US, though there's probably going to be maintenance. The Pokemon that are invited from Pokemon Home that aren't in the Scarlet, a lot of the Kanto legends, so Mewtwo, Articuno, Zapdos, you know, all that fun stuff. We're going to bring in Kyogre, Groudon, and Rayquaza. We're bringing in all of the Sinnoh legends because they just happen to be in Pokemon Arceus. All of the genies are coming because we can't let Enamorus not be in a real game. All of the Galar legends because he probably bought Sword and Shield as a child. Everything else that was just stuck in Hisui. So we also get like a bunch of random mythicals plus carving because what's its face is there? Deoncy. And for some reason we have to tie those two together. I don't think it's entirely necessary, but you do you. I wouldn't be surprised if they demythicalize Deoncy like they did with Keldeo. In DLC.
Yeah, kind of. I can see
it. I wouldn't be surprised.
Or Volcanion. One of the two.
Maybe both.
I'd be down.
Please. Maybe both. Because yeah. Mythicals are all three. Because I think having Mythicals being locked the way they have been in the past is dumb. And I kind of like the way they've been doing it. And demythicalizing a lot of things.
Yes, I agree.
I really also like they announced Pokemon Home having backwards compatibility as well this time around, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
I think I mentioned it on the show that this is probably what's going to happen anyway. But this is, I'm very excited for this to be confirmed because it means that you can just have things go back and forth all over the place. It's a good time all around. You can catch a Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet, and it makes it that. And if it's in the Sword and Shield decks, you can go take it to Sword and Shield, have a good time with. Mm-hmm. So that is very exciting. Or even to Sinnoh or Hisui, one of your choice. Pick your poison.
Yeah, I have a.
From what I saw, it looked like there was a like potential tutor, or like you can change the moves, or like relearn moves.
They're adding a move picker. We know the selections is limited to moves learnable in Generation 8 and onward. But we don't really know what the limitations actually are. Pokemon can travel to earlier games, like I said. So you can take your, like, you can catch a Scarlet and Violet, like Mankey, and take it to BDSP.
Ribbons. You want the ribbons. We're going on contest sprees. It's fine.
We're gonna go play in contests. But yeah, this is actually really exciting. For these Pokemon to see a good time. I'm very excited because this is like the little taste of like, here's some new Pokemon before we get to move into DLC.
There's so many legendaries this time too, though. So it's...
Yeah, I don't know. They did a lot. Well, I expect like there to just be legendaries dumped in the DLC as well. Because I don't know if we're going to get the exact same thing as like, we got before with like the what was it called? Oh my gosh, I was
Dynamax
just doing
Adventures.
Dynamax Adventures. That's
the
it.
Best part of
honestly, yes.
I mean, it was like it is a casual multiplayer mode that Pokemon needs. Like,
no, I think it's great. I would love it again if they gave us like raids like that, like Terastalization Adventures. Like they don't even need to. They can just slap me with. We uncreativity and I'll accept it.
It was the best thing the DLC offers. It was a casual experience. You could play with multiple like.
Yep.
Correct.
That was good. It was really.
I absolutely agree. It was a good time. I think it's still a good time. But yes, it's I'm kind of hoping that they just like let all of the legends in eventually, and I'm sure that'll happen one way or the other. We'll see though. We'll see how it goes. The ones they like are letting in are very obvious ones outside of like the Hoenn Weather Trio. I find very confusing. I don't know why they're just like, yeah, bring those boys in.
Because Koridon is weak to Fluttermane, so you need something to put up Sun in the GS Cup.
Yes, that's it.
What?
You need Groudon so it can be friends with Fluttermane.
That's why. Yep.
It's for the protosynthesis. We are not allowed to have Tapu Koko, but we are allowed to have Groudon. We beats up.
I think there's a chance that we get Tapu Koko, but just not yet.
I don't know.
Tapu Koko is going to be interesting.
I fear if we ever see Tapu.
I don't. Yes. It's not nearly that bad. I think it will take over OU and it will take over BGC, but that's about it.
That sounds bad.
No, it's fine.
That would be my definition of bad.
Well, I mean, like, it's not going to be as bad for OU just because everybody's going to have the Mons anyways. And it's going to force a lot of the Iron Mons to be better, which they seem to be a little worse.
I am hoping that we get... I'm hoping that we learn more about this move thing that's happening.
I mean, we will Wednesday.
Reset,
it'll be in the news next week.
I know.
Don't worry about it. I'll put it
I'm hoping that the move reset is real. Mostly for Smogon.
And Scald is gone. Well, Knock Off is gone, like, and Toxic is gone, and that's good.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that, like, for Smogon's sake, it's just gone. Because, like, if Soft-Boiled Clefable somehow comes back in Gen 9, I'm going to lose my mind.
I mean,
mind.
It doesn't matter anymore because they're all 50%.
Who cares? Yeah.
Because they're all 5 PP moves.
Exactly.
There is no benefit.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse than it is, so I'm... Really can't complain.
Yeah.
It's like Knock Off being gone. Yeah, that's fine. There is no more items that you're holding that blocks Knock Off.
I'm excited for Alolan Muck, though. Alolan Muck is coming back. I'm excited for Alolan Muck.
Alolan Muck is great. There's a bunch of Hisuimon that are exciting with Sharpness.
I'm excited for a lot. I'm honestly just excited for Hisuimons to be in a real... Like, that's honestly what I'm... Like, I'm excited for Kleavor. Because you know what's like the biggest insult
Kleavor's
to injury?
Great.
Is all of the evolution methods for the Hisuimons exist in the game right now in Scarlet and Violet? Like, Black Augurite is in the game. Peat Block is in the game. And they have, like, new art for them and everything. Like, that matches the art that's in Scarlet and Violet. So, like, it's there. It's in the game code. And you know what? Stantler does have in its egg move pool, Psy Shield Bash.
That's good. I'm
in Scarlet and
Violet.
Stantler. So you can breed a Weirdeer with a Stantler and teach it Psyshield Bash, and it can evolve into Weirdeer in Scarlet and Violet.
Right now,
that's good. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's a really cute way. I think it's a really anti-consumeristic way, but it is a very cute way to do like unlocking the Stantler forgot how to Psyshield Bash like legend.
Yeah, and then it needs to relearn it.
Yeah. I think it's very cute, but I also, like, part of me is just like, that's kind of sketchy, Game Freak. You're still making me buy a Legends Arceus to get that Weirdeer.
For now. It'll eventually be in a raid, I bet.
But yeah, Pokemon Home's coming. This is really exciting. Everybody can stop asking when it's coming out now.
Yeah, now we get to go on to when's the DLC
coming. Now we get to ask when the DLC's coming. Yeah, when's the DLC coming out? Yeah.
And
when do we see footage? Come on, show it.
Yeah, so, I want some footage. Gosh, how have we not seen footage yet?
It has to be coming in the next month.
I don't know. Right?
At some point.
It has to be. Like even when we got Isle of Armor announced, we still had like some minor footage. Like they showed a little bit of footage in January.
And then two months later, we actually did have the footage during a direct, which was still.
Yeah. And then just show me something, please. It's also coming out a little bit later than Isle of Armor, which is weirdish.
I mean, it makes sense. They're probably going to try to push it for Afterworlds at some point.
Yes. Yeah, because they probably don't want new Pokemon showing up in August. You're correct.
It's probably the new moves more than the new Pokemon, because they can prevent new Pokemon from being in the... New moves is harder to...
That's true.
Because I assume there's new TMs, right?
There have to be.
Or whatever they call them now.
Yeah. TRs or... No, it's TMs.
No, it's back to TMs again, I think.
It's back to TMs? Okay.
Yeah. We just decided to stop pretending.
Yeah, there's not even tutors anymore.
All right. Well, Claude, talk to us about Scarlet and Violet.
So hopefully by the time this episode releases, it'll have announced whether Delphox or Rillaboom is the next 7-star raid. I mean, it's not going to matter, right, because of Home coming out.
So, they have a title, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The code GETGOLD gets you a golden bottle cap until June 4th, right, for buffing up a Hisuimon that you'll transfer over next week probably into the game.
Yep.
Woo! By the time this episode airs, the OU Council will have voted on whether the initial post-home ban list. They may let one or both of the Zamazenta forms be legal. Probably Urshifu Single Strike will be gone. Rapid Strike may be allowed. There's a bunch of things that they're considering.
Spectre will be gone. It's fine.
Who?
Spectre.
Spectre will definitely not be here.
They gave it moves. That thing's gone.
Yeah. It's... Yeah, for OU, it's too powerful. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Exciting. Next Community Day, we're doing Go News. There was a bit of it. Next Community Day is June 10th. If you want to know the other Community Days, you can look that up, too. We have them for the next 3 months. We're just going to talk about June 10th now, because that one's coming up soon. We don't know what it is yet, though. So
what is it? Do we know? What?
We don't know. They just announced, like, the next 3 months of Community Days, and it's like, well, we're going to talk about it when it's announced anyway. We'll find out next week, I assume. They announced that Shadow Raids are coming to Pokemon Go. The system is dumb. I couldn't tell you how it works. And it's in-person only, so I care a little less. Just know that next weekend, Shadow Mewtwo will be in Raids, and it's going to be hard. So enjoy that if you care. Also, starting Monday, there's a Team Rocket event, and it will continue the Let's Go research from earlier in the season, and it'll add the Master Ball to the game, which will supposedly be available through other means later on at some point. I don't know. It's an auto catch. Who cares? It's kind of important because I think I've heard that the Shadow Raids don't give you bonus balls for being with friends.
Why is everything I'm hearing about these raids awful?
But you can use the Master Ball to catch the Pokemon.
Why is it all awful?
That's a question.
It's Pokemon Go. They make dumb decisions a lot.
That's true.
Last up, we got some TCG news because we know what the pre-release promos for Paldea Evolved are. We're going to get back Excalibur, which isn't a surprise.
Yeah.
It is like Frostmaw that we lost. You get to put as many water energy on your Pokemon as you want from your hand. Tinkaton, you get to discard a card to draw 3 cards. It's not good.
Yeah.
Murkrow, if Wings of Unity is good, this is a card you want. And Pelipper.
Even if it's not good, it's going to be, you know, one of the more expensive ones. That and the Bex.
I mean, the thing is, cards are so cheap right now. Like, Wings of Unity doesn't need to exist as a budget option. Because
Pokemon is so cheap right now, though.
Because, Gardevoir is only... Gardevoir is less than $5. Like, it's cheap to get into the game.
I'm gonna look up some like meta decks and like give you
I did
full
earlier.
Price.
The expensive ones are $100 because they're running V-Star and V-Star didn't have alternate art paintings.
That's true. Lost Zone like, right so now, $65. Arc
so like
that's mostly Charizard and Raikou though.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Arceus V-Star is like still $14-15. So that's where like a lot of the price for standard decks are.
Lugia and that's is going like to get reprinted here. Yeah, this is going to be so cheap.
Yeah, V-Stars are expensive. Unless you're Mew because you've had like 5 prints.
Yeah, it is literally just Arceus Beast right now. That is it.
Yeah. And the last card is Pelipper. I don't think it'll see play because it's stage one, but it works as a Lumineon, and it also can be a VS Secret.
Yeah.
When it evolves, so.
Yep, it has to evolve, though, which is, I feel like if it was a stage one, it would see tons of play.
I don't know if the Wingull has Wings of Unity.
If the Wingull has Wings of Unity, I could see it being in a Wings of
the
Unity
The Wingull
deck.
Does not.
It's, okay, so yeah, it's useless. If there's ever a Wingull with Wings of Unity that they print, yes. Maybe that Pelipper sees play.
Yep, absolutely.
Wings of Unity is only on 3 mons.
It's on which the Flamingo, three? It's on Murkrow, and is it on, like, the Seagull?
It's the Wattrel first form.
Yeah, Seagull, yeah. Other Seagull.
All right. Well, that is the news, but we've got Puckle's Pokey Opinion. What Pokemon coming with home are you the most excited to use? For me, I am excited for any of the Hisui Mons to come because it's like new Pokemon still. They're still new because they haven't been in a real, quote unquote, real game yet.
Mine is Hisui and Samurai.
Yeah.
Sharpness is just a real ability, and setting spikes with your signature move is also kind of dumb sounding, so I'm really looking forward. And Dark Water's a cool, so
correct.
I'm happy to use Samurott. Yes. I picked it in black and white. Well, black and white too, because I knew premium.
Yes.
Still, I'm happy that it's actually like usable.
It's gonna be fun. I like Hisui Pokemon in general. I think are just gonna be the cool ones to see. I'm very excited for them. Hit the game.
I think it'll shake things up quite a bit. Like I'm excited for Kleavor. I'm excited for what is it? I'm excited to see Hisui and Quillfish do well. I like Quillfish.
We can stop making fun of it for being dumb. Now we can. Now we can have
the
use.
Other one. Over Quill is bad, but Quillfish is cool. That's how I see it.
Quillfish is better, yes.
Which is
and it has the Stunky type. So
exactly my favorite or one of my favorite typings.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. How do we feel about Enamorous? Enamorous could just.
I'm curious on if Contrary is going to be good.
I don't think so.
Contrary but. Superpower is the only thing it has going for it. Its physical move pool is just pretty bad otherwise, so it's play rough and send headbutt is all you get. I mean, granted, sometimes all you need is fighting cover.
All you need is the Contrary to be okay. Like, 106 speed is kind of scary on it, so I'm keeping my eyes open.
Especially if you come in on a defog, then it, you know, you now have an evasion boost, which is kind of dumb.
It is kind of dumb. I'm kind of looking forward to getting into OU because I kind of want to try to do the suspect test for Terra. That's in depth. It's definitely coming down the line. So
eventually they will do another one. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're gonna try to clean things up and then they'll probably see what they're gonna do about Terra again because that is something that matters when they're banning Pokemon and happens with that.
100%.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right. Well. That's going to be it. I guess that might be the mail as well.
That's
what
a good
Pokemon
one.
Are you excited for? But yeah, we are going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over to Pokel's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz. The part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Thank you for that introduction. We are going to begin our trivia segment with this question from Jamie. In the Pokemon TCG, Pikachu has been printed the most with around 200 different Pikachu cards. Which Pokemon has been printed the second most?
Oh, gosh. Charizard comes to mind, just because I feel like that would be something they would do.
Meowth comes to mind, though I don't know if it counts like variants too?
Oh, forms, I guess, yeah.
This definitely includes variants.
Okay,
so... Oh, I still think Charizard, because you have, like, every...
Like, Charizard's up there, but they're... So here's the thing. They print a lot of basic Pokemon. Like, a lot. Sometimes they'll print two basics for one evolution, so...
I guess.
There were three Flittle in Scarlet and Violet. What is that?
Yeah, but it's not
they will
print
multiple basics to one evolution, so it's kind of why I think it's a basic.
All right, you want to go Charmander then? But even then, I still think Charizard has more than Charmander.
Sure.
But that's a guess. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know anything else.
It's like, it's possible. Like I said, I feel like it's Meowth just because it's a mascot that's been around since Gen 1.
Then let's do that.
Like, Charmander I could see too, so, but yeah.
Are you going with, so you're going with Charmander?
Your choice, Claude.
I don't care. I thought you were going Meowth, because you said Meowth.
Oh, Meowth? You want to go Meowth?
Yeah, we'll go Meowth, because it has two variants, too.
Meowth is unfortunately incorrect, and so is Charizard. Okay. The answer is unknown, with 97 cards.
Because Gold... Because
there are so many...
Heart Gold,
so
Soul,
many
Silver,
letters.
I did the, each unknown has its own card. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's dumb.
I mean, it makes sense, but yes.
I get it, but it's dumb.
All right. Well, you guys are 0 for 1. Your next question is going to come to you with from Fraz. This was probably asked last week because I don't think... You know what? I'm going to give you the unfair question because I think that's the one that wasn't asked. This is actually from the Once and Future Gamer. Ash Ketchum won many badges in his time on the anime. However, there's one badge he won twice. Which is it? And I'll give you the hint that he won it from two different people, but the same badge.
Oh.
Oh, gosh. This is early on, isn't it?
Oh, no, he didn't beat Agatha for the Earth Gym when he came back, did he? Or Earth Badge. Because he beat Team Rocket, and then he came back when Agatha was waiting for a new gym leader to show up. I believe right before Battle Frontier started. But I don't know if he won that battle, because I think Agatha beat him.
I don't remember either. It's possible?
Because originally I was thinking Cascade Badge, but because he battled Misty and Alola, but he said he battled two different people, so...
Okay.
That wasn't the
Isn't
case.
It, didn't he fight both Wallace and Juan?
Wallace didn't show up until, like, Sinnoh, and he was part of
Never
the
mind.
Wallace Cup. He didn't even have anything to do with battling, I don't think.
Okay. Because that's the only one I think I'm trying to think, like, where there was a double battle or so, or, like, there were two gym leaders for something.
Like, I know in Journeys, he battled against Lieutenant Surge's, like, protege or something like that while Surge was away, but I don't think he earned the Thunder Badge for that.
No. He didn't. He just did that for the...
Yeah, he just did that for the league.
Really?
Like, it wouldn't be something dumb like... he battled both of Cylan's brothers and won that badge. I don't know.
No, I don't think it's something like that. He fought one gym leader. Oh, wasn't it Misty?
That's why I said.
Didn't he fight like one of the Misty's sisters and get the badge? And then Misty and then she had to fight Misty and get the actual badge.
He challenged them. They gave him the badge, and he's like, "No, I don't feel good about that." And Misty rushes in and says, "That's not how to be a gym leader." And then they had to battle, but technically he didn't win either
of
them.
Fair enough.
I mean, I'm not against that
answer,
one,
guys.
Because we
didn't.
Okay, that
was the one I
could
think of. All right, well, that's
you,
all
we
I
could
got.
Try it, because I got nothing else.
Sure, let's try Misty.
That is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is actually the Rain Badge, because he beat Juan in the Hoenn series.
Yes!
And he was given a second one after beating Wallace in Pokemon Journeys.
Oh, it was part
was
of
right.
Journeys.
I know when the second one was. I almost
want to give you the point, Claude, because you mentioned it.
Like I said, I knew Wallace showed up for the Wallace Cup in the Sinnoh.
I was trying to think of, like, all right, where have there been, like, two gym leaders, like, throughout the time where it's the same badge but two different people, and that was the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really look at Journeys too much just because he wasn't collecting badges.
I didn't realize Journeys was that far. I don't know about that.
You know, I'm going to give you the point only because you mentioned it and it was hard. So I'll give you a point, a pity point.
Pity point!
All right, this next one is going to be from G. McPee. It's Pokemon Shield entry reads, It's proud of its fur, which is fine and delicate. In particular, the curl on its forehead has a texture that's perfectly heavenly. Who's that Pokemon?
What game was this from again?
Shield.
Shield?
It's proud of its fur, which is fine and delicate. In particular, the curl on its forehead has a texture that's perfectly heavenly.
Curl on the forehead?
I'm tempted to say, like, Igglybuff.
Oh, yeah, Igglybuff. Let's start there.
I'm going to give it to you with Igglybuff.
Is it
It's actually Wigglytuff.
Oh, okay. It's in the line.
It's Wigglytuff, but it's in the line, so I'll give it to you. The other entry was from Pokemon Y, and it reads, The body is soft and rubbery. When angered, it will suck in air and inflate itself to an enormous size.
Yeah, but that could be
We probably would have said Jigglypuff for that one, but...
I would have brought up one, not two.
But you guys did get it, so I will give you 2 points for that. So you guys are 3 for 3. Your next question is gonna be your multiple answer question, as always. Do you want the manga question? Because I'm sure that's the one that was skipped last week.
I mean, I didn't listen to last week. This is the viewers that would suffer.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to give it to you. This one is from Munchy Void. In the manga, which 3 characters are confirmed to have grown up in the Viridian Forest?
So yellow is
one point
of them.
For each. You just have to lock them in. I will give you yellow. Yes, that is correct. They all were present during Kanto.
Okay. Yeah, I knew yellow was. After that,
I know nothing. I'm just gonna like start guessing.
How about things? I know Lance is like the major antagonist to yellow.
Wasn't he born around there?
That's what I'm curious about. Like,
are you gonna lock in Lance?
I'm willing to try Lance just because we don't lock have in Lance. Yeah,
that is correct.
Okay. Like
there's one more major character.
You think it's Kanto? Do you think it's green? That's the female, right? Because translation issues, whatnot.
I would assume then green because I know it's not red or blue.
I don't think it's red or blue.
Well, blue is also a girl. I thought maybe right.
So translations were weird. I have no clue if they retranslated it for us or what. Because usually it's red and green or Ash and Gary stand-ins, but because we had blue...
I know which one you're talking about. You can try to lock it in if that's what you want to do.
That tells me it's neither. Okay.
Okay. So do you think it's a gym leader?
I would... maybe?
Because, I don't know.
Brock?
Koga?
Koga?
Ninjas? Koga? I don't know.
Ninjas.
You do ninjas are born in the wild?
You do have the hint.
Oh, let's use a hint.
This is a gym leader, one that is evil.
Oh, there's 4 of those, aren't there?
Yes.
Blaine, Sabrina, Koga, and who was the...
Surge, right?
Surge?
I thought it was Surge.
Surge is an American, so it's not him.
And Giovanni would be included on that list.
Oh, okay. So... I'm going to say Giovanni's gem's right outside the forest, so sure.
Giovanni is correct. That is all 3 points. You guys are 6 for 4.
Lieutenant Surge is an American. He was not born in...
Yeah.
He was not raised in this forest.
That's right.
We're good.
Oops.
All right. So your next question is your base stat question, as always. This one is going to be from Smeargle19. Which dark type has the highest special defense of all dark type Pokemon?
Gosh. Special defense?
Yep.
So, Hoopa's defense is the low stat.
Yes. So, Hoopa's
I think its special defense is pretty good. I
want to say it's like 150 or 130. Is Yveltal's higher is the next question on my mind.
I feel like Yveltal is more offensive. Oh, it has a high HP stat.
This is silly. There's a dark type. It's the snail.
Oh, Wochan?
Yeah. It's like 130, 40, something disgusting like that.
Yeah, because I don't think...
I'm almost positive it's the
snail. Sableye doesn't have stats to start with, so I don't think it's that mega.
Yeah, it's either that or Hoopa. I'm not sure. It's one of those two. I'm pretty sure it's the snail, though, because the snail is the snail.
Okay.
Is the snail your choice?
The snail is the snail.
Wochan is correct with a base stat of 135.
Oh, Okay.
It is a next date. It is followed up by a three-way tie between Mega Gyarados, Umbreon, and Hoopa Unbound at 1:30.
Yo,
followed up by followed by Galarian Moltres at 1:25.
Oh, okay. I wasn't thinking about him. Good for him.
Yeah. So you guys, got like, 7 points.
Fuchsia Feud for Dark Spiteful Defense is pretty difficult. Yeah,
that is actually pretty rough. So that is 7 points for you guys. I'm going to go ahead and put that in. It does change up the standings. Are you ready for this? All right. So in first place, we've got Claude with 28 points. In second place, we've got Whimsicott with 24. I don't know if they put in the points last week. In third place, we've got Linian with 22. In fourth, we got Seth Byla with 20. In fifth, we've got a tie between Shark and R Sigma with 19.
Yo.
In seventh, Sublime with 17. Eighth, Mark with 15. Jushiro, ninth with 13. Basket, 10 with 12. And Shamu bringing up the rear with 5.
But this is like my last one, though, till like August or end of August. Oh, no. Crazy like that.
Ooh. Oh, no.
So sad, I started a show in June, or rehearsals, and they have Friday night and Saturday rehearsals. And I'm like, well, there goes all of my buckle time.
We'll do a Thursday night show for you.
I have rehearsal Thursday. It's going to be Sunday recordings only for me.
That's never happening.
Exactly.
All right. Well, on that note, we are going to go ahead and we are going to kick it on over to our topic. We have another review. This one is going to be from SpartanTHX117. 5 stars, longtime listener. The first time I've ever written a review for a podcast. I first started listening to your podcast when driving to meet my girlfriend on the weekends, when neither of us had to work. Since then, we've moved in together and become engaged. The both of us have been playing Pokemon since we were kids, and we have both listened to your podcast when traveling or working around the house together. We may not score too well on the quiz part, but we always enjoy the topics and conversation between the hosts and guests. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you for that, and congrats on the engagement. If you would like your review read on the show, leave one, and it might be read. Until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is top 5 fighting types. We're going to be duking it out to see who's the best and who's the worst. If you're new to this segment or this type of show, what we do is we've been going through every type of Pokemon, and we each choose one that we think should be in the top 5 and one that should be in the bottom 5, and then we discuss. And if we can all come to an agreement that it belongs in either of those categories, it gets put there until we hit 5. And that's just how the show's going to be. We're going to talk about the Pokemon, and fighting's actually like kind of hard.
It's a little more difficult than I expected.
I expected to be like, yeah, I expected to find like some that I obviously hated, and that is not the case. There are like, I think there's like 3 that we can all agree on, but
there might be more. The bottom ones are easier to pick than the top ones.
You think so? I don't know. Okay. I mean, I'll get started. I want for the top, and this is me just trying to get some of my personal favorites out of the way. Because I don't know that this will be unanimous, but I really like Sirfetch'd.
I love Sirfetch'd. I'm in.
Sirfetch'd is solid.
I think as an idea, Sirfetch'd should be top 5. Like, as a Pokemon, I don't think it represents fighting type per se.
I think it does.
I do think it's a good fighting type, and the design is very solid. The move pool is really good too, actually.
Yes.
And it's just a very cool Pokemon altogether.
I look at it as the next coming of evolutions for old Pokemon. And like, it's the face of it more than Obstagoon.
Yes.
It's what I wish the Gen 4 evolutions were.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Is what they did in, like, I mean, later gens. That and Obstagoon, I think, are better than all the Gen 4 evolutions. But Sirfetch'd is by far one of my favorite fighting types of all time. And
yes.
It is very cool. Ash had it. Yeah.
I love its design. It checks all the boxes you want for a fighting type.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. So now we need the bottom. And this is where things get kind of bumpy, kind of difficult.
Is it, though?
I think it's... okay, but like Emboar does exist.
I mean, so does Pignite. Both of them.
I don't think they get separate slots in the bottom 5. I think they are both terrible.
Emboar gets called, though.
Tepig is, well, that's the thing is, like, Tepig is great, but it's not a fighting type, so we can't count it.
Tepig's fine.
I don't care.
Yep.
Pignite and Emboar, both garbage.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I like Emboar, but Pignite is, you know, awkward middle phase is really bad.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like Quilladin, but like...
I was going to say, Quilladin, I don't think is a fighting type. I actually don't know.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not.
Or it would be here. It would be here again. I think it was on bottom grass, too.
It was definitely on bottom grass. It would be in bottom fighting, yes.
Big Knight might have been bottom fire, but hey, it's that bad.
Big Knight, okay, I'm for Pig Knight. If we just want to do Pig Knight, we'll do Pig Knight.
Pig Knight was not bottom five, but Embor was bottom five for fire.
Hey, cool. New blood.
Pig Knight it is.
Pig Knight it is.
All right.
Who wants to go next?
I guess go for I it. Can. So for top, I kind of liked this Pokemon back in like Oras and Gen 7 too, with its Mega Evolution, but nowadays it got a new ability this gen, and it's really seen new life, and that's Gallade with its new sharpness ability. I think psychic fighting is cool. I think it's being a slide evolution of Gardevoir is cool. Its move pool's always been great. I think it and Mew could break the game last gen with how many moves it could relearn from the move relearner. So, but it's just a fun concept, and
it is very, it is cool.
Gallade is one of those mons that, like, in Gen 4, I thought was super cool. And then as the gens got on,
I do agree with that.
I found myself liking it less and less.
I think it's just because it's slow.
Yeah, but then they got a Mega, and it's cool. And then Now it has sharpness. Like, Gen 8, Gallade is just kind of boring. It's kind of cool in Legends Arceus, but now it's got new life again.
I don't have a reason against it, is the problem.
It's just got a cool... It's got a cool design. It's got cool moves. It's got a great move. I just like it a lot.
I feel exactly like Claude. Like, there's something about it. Like, it was really cool in Gen 4. And then now, it feels like it lacks oomph.
Well, that's the thing, though. If I look through the list, I can't think of anything else that's much better.
Right?
I have a couple of things that, like, I like a lot that I'm like, all right, cool. But, like, that's it. Like, there's not a lot that I think is just better than it.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. You know what? Let's put Gallade in the top.
Yeah. And for bottom, one of my most disappointing evolutions in Gen 7, because I thought Crabrawler looked kind of cool when they showed it off in trailers. And I was like, huh, they never showed off its evolution. And I kept it.
Don't do it.
Don't do this. Don't do this to my man.
I kept it in my party the entire Sun and Moon game because I thought, hey, maybe it'll be cool when it evolves. Of course, you have to wait till you get to the end of the game to evolve it.
It is disappointing.
And then when you finally get there, you get greeted with Crabominable.
I love Crabominable.
Yeah.
I think Crabrawler's cool. Crabominable is a disappointment compared to it.
You're right, but it hurts my soul.
I don't like that you're right.
It's not there because it's like Pig Knight. It's there because it's a disappointment to what it could have been.
It could have been so much better. You're right.
You are right. I still like it.
And how long you had to wait for it when it came out. Like, they fixed it in Ultra Sun and Moon, and they fixed it now because it's an ice stone. But when it first released, you had to wait so long to get that disappointment.
I mean,
the same things with, like, Vikavolt, but Vikavolt at least ended up...
I love my boy, but, like, you're throwing fists that hurt.
It's unfortunate, but, like, it is that way. Oh.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
Like, he could be bottom ice type, too, but...
No, it's fine. You can hurt my crab.
I'm not a big... I don't want to put it there, but I get why you're putting it there, and...
He just had too many marks against him.
We'll do our like last chance to like upend it, right?
It's like, do you have something better?
Do we think of something that's worse than Crabominable? And the answer is possible.
I mean, I think there are worse things. I don't know if I can convince you guys that there are worse things.
Potentially.
All right.
Let's keep going. What do you got, Claude? What do you got for us?
So, I'm going to go with my top, for the top, I'm between a couple of them, but I love the top himself, Hitmontop. I think Hitmontop is the best of the Hitmons. I always thought it was super, super.
Yeah, I can't argue that one.
that part is true.
I always thought it was really, really cool back in Gen 2. It was one of my favorite Jonomons in general. I really like the design. I thought it was a cool Pokemon. It has some, you know, it had the original triple kick, rapid spin.
Man, like, I want to agree.
You don't have to.
Like, it's...
I'm not against it. I'm not against it.
I feel the way that I felt about Gallade.
I know. The thing is, I like Hitmontop more than I like Gallade, though, is the problem.
That's how I feel about Hitmontop.
I like Hitmontop for its unique evolution method, too.
Yes, it's very unique. I get more excited that Hitmontop exists than Hitmonchan or Hitmonlee. I'm glad they're related, but you can definitely, like, Hitmontop is definitely the odd man out in that trio, right?
It is, but for the better.
Yes.
If there's something else that is better.
I'm not going to veto it, but we'll do the rounds at the end. We'll do the rounds. That's fine. I'll allow it. I mean, this wouldn't be my personal fighting type list, because, like, I can think of at least two more Pokemon that I really want on the top.
As far as my list, like, I can't have Breloom, because it already won grass.
It won grass.
And even then, I wouldn't allow it, just because, yeah, well, I think it's more of a grass type anomaly than, like, a fighting type.
Because it's Spore. Breloom is Spore and Mach Punch. That is what we think of as Breloom. I mean, and Bullet Seed, so I guess, yeah, grass has 2 points.
I understand. I mean, that's fine. I'm gonna get a lot of hate for my, you know, bottom choice, so I figured might as well get the bad round out of the way now.
Are you gonna get the bad one out of the way? Okay, do it. I know what you're doing.
Lucario. I hate Lucario with a burning passion.
We cannot put it on the bottom, but I won't put it on the top either.
Yeah. It is everywhere. It was a mascot for... It's never going to go away either.
No, but I hate it with a burning passion because I think it's so incredibly underwhelming that they had to give it a broken Mega to make it any bit decent.
The Mega was really cool.
You're not wrong.
You're right. The Mega Lucario is cool, but regular Lucario is so incredibly underwhelming that they had to do so much to even make it viable.
Lucario was very good hype for Gen 4.
That never went away.
I mean, I like Lucario for, like, nostalgia reasons, which is bad, but I don't think it's good. I don't know, like, I don't think it's a good Pokemon in competitive, and I don't think it was intended to be. I think it was meant to be, like, a very, like, above-average Pokemon for your playthrough.
Okay.
It's kind of like a tier or two below Charizard, but it still is everywhere, to the point where you almost want to hate on it, but you also understand why people like it so much.
I understand why people like it.
No, they totally did it.
Because they always push it. Like, whenever they show a new game, they show Lucario in it.
Yep. Now, I remember very early on,
Sword and Shield had it as, like, one of the...
Sword and Shield, like, there's just a Lucario hanging out in the wild area.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. And it's in every game, right? It's just in every game.
If you've listened this far, you know, when you hate Lucario, tell me in the mailbag.
I'm gonna veto Lucario for this. All right. My next round, I get to go. Okay. So, favorite... And you probably won't agree with me here, is Annihilate.
Annihilate's cool. Annihilate is cool.
I really like Annihilate because for some reason, irrationally, Primeape line was one of my favorite fighting type lines, period. I don't know why. And I was actually a little bit turned off with Annihilate because I really didn't like how they were really leaning into that Gen 7 gimmicky entry where it will, like, die from getting so angry. I played the game and, like, I got one during my playthrough, and I used it, and I'm like, yeah, this has grown on me.
Okay.
And I think Annihilate is fun. I mean, if you want to veto it, you're more than welcome to.
I'm not the biggest fan of Annihilate.
I think Annihilate is cool. I think Annihilate is a nice, good fighting Pokemon.
It seems like a ghost to me more than a fighting type.
I think Rage Fist is the problem, not Annihilate.
I'm not the biggest fan of it.
I mean, you can veto me, Claude. I'm okay with this.
So, my problem with fighting types is that there are a lot of very average ones, in my opinion. And I see Annihilate as fairly average to me. And granted, that's my personal opinion.
That's fair.
But I can't argue with, you know, it's one of the cooler average ones.
I mean, I've got two more that I think are going to be, that might be bangers. But if you want to not veto it, we can put it on the list.
I mean, the thing is, like, I still have, you know, two, if not three, that I really like that I want to talk about.
I mean, I like it. I just like Annihilate because I irrationally like Primeape. Like, that's my reasoning. I mean, you could veto me. Go ahead. Veto it.
It's hard to veto it because I'd rather Annihilate than Gallade.
I mean, put it there and then we'll do our honorable mentions. We'll put it there. Okay. And so now I get a bottom. And so my bottom is going to be a combo, and it's going to be Ernie and Bert. Sock and Throw.
I can give you Sock. I can't give you Throw.
Really? Because I was more willing to give him Throw than Sock.
I feel the opposite. I'd be more willing to give myself Throw than Sock.
I love Throw, though.
I like Sock. I've used it in draft before.
I've used Throw in draft.
It always does well for me. Like,
I think Sock is the more usable of the two.
Fine.
I think we should combo them together.
That's fine. I'm not completely happy with it, but it is a compromise I'm willing to make.
These very often just turn into like Gen 5 Pokemon that didn't need to be remade. Like, this is what these usually turn into, but because like I don't think Sock and Throw.
That's okay. We can throw them together in the bottom.
Like I said, bottom's so much easier to fill out though.
Sigma, go ahead.
Top one's kind of hard for the next one because I don't think what I will nominate will pass. No. See, I like Mian Chao. I don't think it's like a top fighting type though. I'm tempted to. You know what? Fighting type's all about muscle. I think Buzzwole deserves to be in the top five.
Actually, okay, so that's like one of my like three that I was going to talk about.
That was one of my three as well.
It is peak fighting type.
But it is though, right? Like
it is the definition fighting type.
Buzzwole feels very iconic, and that's why it's in Pokemon Unite and not Faramosa.
So in my mind, you had to have one of the bug fighting types on this list, whether that.
I mean, Slitherwing's there too.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like,
I love Slitherwing's design.
Between Heracross and Buzzwole.
But it hasn't been around long enough.
Where, like, those were the two fighting types that came to my mind, were Heracross and Buzzwole. And Heracross is more bug, Buzzwole is more fighting.
That's why I'm not talking about Heracross. Heracross could be in top five. I think it's more bug. It is the buggest of bugs.
Yeah, I think Heracross is more bug type than fighting type, but Buzzwole's the opposite.
Yes. Buzzwole's all muscle. He deserves to be top five.
Okay, so from here on out, since we filled out the top five, I want to do honorable mentions at the end, and we'll make our cases at the end. So from here on, we're just going to do bottom fives.
Whoa, I don't get a second top.
But I think Sigma still gets a bottom five.
I have a couple bottom fives, but I think we're going to start with Urshifu in general.
No.
Really? Okay, Urshifu is one of my tops. Urshifu is one of my tops.
I wouldn't have gone top.
That's going to be my honorable mention.
Really? I think the forms are just kind of disappointing without their Gigantamaxes because they look too similar, and I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, I disagree.
I don't agree.
That's fine. I don't like that they look so similar.
I like Urshifu for so many reasons. It feels like the most crafted Pokemon for competitive ever because it just feels good to use. It's not overpowered. It's not overwhelming. In VGC, at least. I'm going to make that clarification. In OU, Single Strike is madness. I think it's just super fun, and it just feels good to use.
No.
I just don't like them as a pair. I think their color schemes from Gigantamax should have been like their regular color schemes, and then that would have been kind of cool, but...
I'm going to hard veto bottom five. Sorry.
Yeah, I hard veto that as well.
There are so many worse things on that are there than the Urshifu.
Yeah. I told you, there are a lot of candidates for bottom five. A lot of candidates. Yeah.
All right. Well, Claude, give us a bottom.
Mega Mewtwo X. In my mind, that is arguably the most disappointing Mega.
They tried so hard with that one.
That's because they had to go from, like, stats that it didn't have.
Yes.
You know what's also worse about, like, both Charizard and Mewtwo in terms of, like, them getting the two Mega forms? Is that, like, I don't know why they did this, but, like, in marketing, they only leaned on one. And I don't know why. And then the other one was obviously, like, semi-subpar. To be fair, I am one of the people that thinks Charizard Y is cooler than Charizard X.
I don't like the horn button.
I like Charizard Y because it looks like what an evolution to Charizard would look like.
That's fair. I just don't like the third horn. Otherwise, I'm fine with it. I like the tattered wings.
I feel like Charizard Y falls into line with Mega Blastoise and Mega Venusaur better than Charizard X. I feel like Charizard X was made to appease all of the people that complain it's not a dragon type.
Charizard X is over-designed to make its cool shiny cooler.
Yeah, but I do think that Mega Mewtwo X falls under the same thing, because like there was a lot of like hype around Mega Mewtwo Y and not knowing what it was. And they're just like, by the way, here's the second one that's also fighting type, which the idea of the typing getting added to Mewtwo is really cool. And then Mega Mewtwo X was, one, a disappointment. And then two, it was the design is just, it feels weird.
Because it is.
It just feels bad. Well, yeah, that's I agree with this. Claude, I'll let you get an extra honorable mention to try to argue to get rid of something on the list, on the top five.
The only other fighting type that I, you know, truly have a passion for, I mean, there's technically two, but I know I won't win one of those fights, is Poliwrath. I love Poliwrath.
I can understand that. It's just as irrational as my love for Primeape.
And, you know, I was going to try and fight Marshadow over Annihilape, but I don't think I would win that fight.
No, I think Annihilape's cooler than Marshadow.
I don't think Poliwrath's the top five, but I do respect it. I respect the Poliwrath.
Fair. I mean, I'll have it sent an honorable mention.
I respect it. I respect it as, like, the OG fighting duel type.
I respect it because it reminded me that Clobopus exists, needs to go somewhere.
You are on this council, but I do not grant you the rank of master.
So we only have one more bottom.
Poliwrath. Yeah, the answer is Palmo, right? Like, we're just going Palmo.
Probably, like I said, Clobopus is really bad, though. Or not Clobopus, but what's it called? Grappalocked.
Conkeldurr is the worst of the three, and it's a clown.
I really just dislike Palmo for being Palmo again.
Fair. Oh yeah, Palmo belongs there too.
Palmo belongs on this list. Yeah, like, we can put Palmo here. No one likes Palmo. That middle evolution didn't need to exist. Palmy's cute.
Okay, yeah, but like, yeah, what is... There's barely a difference between Palmo and Palmot. That's what upsets me the most. And you know what's worse is I didn't realize that Palmot's T was a pronounced T. I thought it was just Palmo to Palmo.
Palmo?
Palmo to Palmo.
Palmo.
And that's more... That was upsetting me. I'm like, wow, they tried really hard to make this the same Pokemon. I don't know why we had a middle evolution. It was kind of upsetting. I would have been okay if we would have just gone Palmy to Palmot.
Especially with the dumb middle... Or the dumb evolution method, so you only have it for a level anyway. Like, okay...
Okay, so we'll do a round of everything to see if we can overthrow anything. Okay, so actually, I think the two that I wanted to say for, like, top five for sure were actually mentioned. Like, we talked about Urshifu. We talked about Buzzwole.
So, do we have to mention Machamp so we don't get angry emails like Snorlax got us?
Machamp's the OG.
I don't want to mention Machamp because I don't think it gets...
I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's top five.
I don't think it's as exciting. It walks so these other boys could run, okay?
Pretty much.
I just wanted to avoid the Snorlax anger.
No, you want the anger. You want the anger. It drives engagement.
We get plenty of engagement anyway, but on these ones anyway.
Oh, we should probably mention how Blaziken is Blaziken.
Blaziken's cool. I assume it's on our fire list, I hope.
Was it on the fire list? It was not on the fire list.
Don't worry about it.
It's fine. Blaziken's cool. We have nothing against Blaziken. We do not hate Blaziken.
No, we're not mentioning every Pokemon on this list. But another Pokemon that I think should be mentioned is Scrafty.
Scrafty's okay.
I think Scrafty is cool. I loved him. Well, I think Scraggy more than Scrafty. I like the idea of the lizard holding up his pants because they'll fall down otherwise.
I mean, I think Scraggy's cute. I don't think it makes top five.
That's a Thatch honorable mention.
That's fair. That's fair.
And then I don't know if I have anything that's worse than the ones that are up there.
I have two on the bottom. I want to talk about possible bottoms.
I like Megalopunny. I'm not going to argue for it, though.
Smart choice.
No, don't do that.
It's not worth it.
Not worth it, no. Paldean Tauros is also bad.
That's the one. That's one of the ones I want to talk about.
Regular Paldarian?
Regular Paldean Tauros is bad. Virizion?
I think the whole concept of like Paldean Tauros is just like it missed the mark.
Well, also, you just had the two versions that are just always going to be better than it, so...
Yeah, I just think in general, Paldean Tauros, even Aqua Breed and Blaze Breed are just like... It's just a disappointing concept.
I think if they just had the split versions, it would be really cool. I don't think the regular version needed to exist.
The regular one probably didn't need to exist. You are correct.
That's where I'm at with Paldean Tauros.
I probably would have been better, especially with how hard it is to find them. It's taken so long to find one.
You need to eat like the food and it becomes super easy to find the other versions, but yeah.
That's still not fun.
Virizion for bottom five fighting?
Yeah.
It's not great, but these things are worse.
I don't know. I like the crab. I'm trying to find a way to eat my crab.
The one I look at is...
I would put Paldean Tauros in instead of the crab.
See, I would take out Sock and Throw over the... just because we beat up on Gen 5s all the time.
I'll continue to beat up on Gen 5 for several reasons.
Games were great. Pokemon were not.
I think the games are great. I think the Pokemon, yeah, exactly. The Pokemon
have high highs and low lows, and those lows are...
They like try to do a soft reboot in the wrong way. It was so bad. It was just, it fell flat because it would be one thing if it was like a soft reboot and they had like different ideas. Like, I think the idea of going from like a Ponyta to like a zebra, and the zebra is a completely different type, is an okay idea. I am okay with that idea. That's a good transition. But when they were just like, but what if we had a fighting type that evolved with a trait evolution? We've never done that before. And then they did. And we never had a rock type that evolved via trait before.
To be fair, I do like Gigalith more than Golem. Maybe not Paldean Golem, or not Paldean. Maybe not Alolan Golem, but regular Golem.
What if we just have these monkeys that just exist?
Monkeys were a mistake, but...
Oh, wait. No. Simisear is the greatest fire type.
The monkeys were a mistake. That's why they don't get to be in games anymore.
Not Mickey Dolan's, but yes. Nobody got that joke. It's fine. Yeah, I would be okay with putting in Paldean Tauros over something else. I think Paldean Tauros is terrible.
Maybe we're too mean to Pignite.
No, we're not. It rightfully deserves this place.
You know what's worse is like that was like Ash's thing in the anime too. Like that's the only one he let evolve was Pignite. And it was a Pignite. And it was a Pignite.
The bad one.
I mean, going through it, it's like, I really like Infernape, and I'd love to see Infernape make the list.
Infernape's cool.
Yeah.
It's my favorite of the firefighting starters.
Like, Hawlucha's cool, but it's a flying type to me.
I like the design. Yeah. Hawlucha just ruined it with gameplay mechanics in all generations.
And, like, Pirouette Meloetta is just disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's bottom five disappointing.
You know what? Let's just keep the list as is, then. And then...
All right. So, what can you recap the list for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our top five is Sirfetch'd, Gallade, Hitmontop, Annihilape, and Buzzwole. And that's a solid top five, actually.
Yeah, no, it worked out.
And our bottom five is Pignite, Crabominable, Sock/Throw. They're the same Pokemon. Mega Mewtwo X, and Palmo. I think we all are in agreement there.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite and least favorite fighting types are in the mailbag this week. We look forward to those responses. All right, on that note, though, guys, we are going to kick it on over to our Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex 923, Palmot. The hands-on Pokemon.
The Pokemon Violet Pokedex entry reads, Palmot's fluffy fur acts as a battery. It can store the same amount of electricity as an electric car.
Okay, that's an odd amount of electricity.
I mean, it's not dark like Gen 7, so I'm taking it.
Yeah. Okay, so Palmot is actually, like, okay. Base attack, 115, base speed, 105, and we're just not going to talk about the rest of its stats that are just 70s.
That's all that matters.
What matters is its move pool.
Yes, its move pool is actually not bad, like, at all.
It has 1.5 signature moves. That's cool.
Well, so, like, the thing that's really fun is that, like, electric types usually don't get a good move pool in general, but this one did. Like, because of
especially
the fighting
Pika
type.
Clones.
Yeah, Pika clones usually
tend to get
garbage.
Really bad ones because you can't use it over Pikachu. That's unheard of.
Yeah. Palmot as a fighting type is actually, like, not disappointing. I mean, it gets close combat, and it's got a signature move in Double Shock.
Which is Burnout, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just Burn Up, but electric.
That's fine.
Yep.
Electric,
which
physical.
Is arguably better.
Yes. Yeah. And then it also gets access to Revival Blessing because it just shocks you and it brings you back to life. But it does give it to also, what is it? What's the other Pokemon that gets it?
It's the stupid
the
Scarab.
Dung Beetle. God, what's his name?
Rabsca?
Because it's just Rabsca because it's just Scarab backwards.
Oh, Rabsca.
Rabsca. Scarab backwards. Yeah. You faint, but you get to restore one of your buddies.
You don't faint?
No, you just resurrect. You're stuck with one PP. You only get to do it once.
Yeah, you only get
unless
to do
you
it
run
once.
A Lepaberry, then you can have two potentially.
Does it? Okay, so yes, I thought does work with it. Okay.
And,
it, okay.
And they only come back to half health.
It's still a very strong ability, though.
You are correct. I'm wrong.
Game. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super overpowered, so like, I'll take
no,
it.
But it no. is very strong. It does yes. change the game.
Yes, it does. It does.
It's kind of like adding attacks that do more damage based on the number of party members you mm-hmm. faint. Or yeah. an attack that does how much damage based on how many attacks you've taken.
Yep.
You know, strong things happen now. It's fine.
And it doesn't matter if you fainted or not.
It's still on a Pawmot, which, while cool, is just an okay Pokemon.
105 is only 105.
Yeah, it's just an okay Pokemon.
It's pretty okay. I mean, I'm not mad about it. We did find a team for today, though, and UU, and boy, do I love this UU team. It's just like the Pokemon spread. One is colorful on the Pokepaste, which every Pokemon is a different color, and I appreciate that. Which is an odd thing to appreciate, but I really do appreciate it. And then it's just like the team has like some bangers in it, like just some real faves.
I was a fan. This was the first team I saw, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah, we got to do this. All right, so obviously this team has Pawmot on it, holding a Life Orb. It's got the Natural Cure ability. It does have three abilities, Volt Absorb and Iron Fist are the other two. But Natural Cure is good if you get poisoned or something, you just switch out, you're fine.
Oh, it's good because of its moveset. I was like, why aren't we running Iron Fist? And then I saw the moveset, and it's like,
yeah, the moveset doesn't care about Iron Fist. Too much.
Well, it does. It just does. Is running some.
It's running a move that Natural Cure is much better. Yes, because this is just max attack, max speed, 252 in both, 4 special defense. Jolly Nature, so you go Vroom. Close combat, double shock, ice punch for coverage, and rest, so you can just rest and then switch out, and then you're no longer sleepy.
Yep.
With your Natural Cure.
So how familiar are you with how Terra Electric and Double Shock works?
Is there a weird interaction other than it getting more powerful?
You don't lose your electric type.
Oh.
And you can keep double shocking.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a cool little thing. So you're going to keep double shocking. You're going to lose a little bit of HP from the Life Orb. I'm sure you'll take chip somewhere. Then you rest, switch out. That's cool. I like this.
That's cool. All right. And then this also has another electric. Well, not, it's not electric. No, it is electric. It's electric.
It's electric. But
it's not ghost anymore. It is Rotom Mo holding a choice scarf. It's got the levitate ability. It is a steel Terra type. 252 is special attack, 252 speed. You're just going Vroom again. You've got Leaf Storm because you're a Rotom Mo. You've got Volt Switch because you're a Rotom. A Nasty Plot because that's what Rotom Mo does, and Trick so you can throw that Choice Scarf onto another opponent's Pokemon. That
make sure
want
you
it.
Trick before you Nasty Plot.
Yes, Trick before you Nasty Plot. But yes, it is a that is also fun. There are like all these Pokemon are bangers. I will like just in terms of Pokemon that Thash likes.
Yep.
All right, but whoever wants to take the next two, grab them.
I got it. So, next up we have good old Tyranitar, Leftovers, Streaming Sands, Terra-type Flying, 252 HP, 96 Defense, 84 Special Defense, and 76 Speed with an Impish nature. This has Dragon Dance, Substitute, Stone Edge, and Earthquake. Yeah. And then the other pseudo-legend that we have is Salamence with Heavy Duty Boots, Intimidate, Terra-type Fairy, 4 Defense, 252 special attack, 252 speed, timid nature, with Draco Meteor Hurricane Flamethrower Roost.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Closing out this team, we have a Tinkaton holding Leftovers with the Mold Breaker ability. Terra type Dark for, I guess, Stab Knockoff later on, and immunity to Prankster. I don't know if Prankster is an issue in it.
Yeah, I don't know why it's Terra Dark. That's odd.
I guess stronger knockoff.
Yes.
But we're going max HP, 92 attack, 160 special defense, and 4 speed.
Why is it dark? Because you're going to get hit by, like, what?
Where did you find this team?
It was just a UU sample team.
It's one of the UU sample teams, yeah.
Okay, no, I'll come back with it.
All right. Anyways, our move pool, Gigaton Hammer, because we're a Tinkaton, and that's what we do. Encore, because we can do it.
It's actually, I played a match with this team before we started talking about it. Yeah, it can lead.
This leads well because it has
stun. It leads really well, because, and if you predict a good setup, you can just encore your opponent and just set up rocks and just have fun. Yeah.
If they try to set up on you, you say no. Also, I believe Stealth Rock Moldbreaker is a thing against like Magic Bounce users. Like
it is. I believe it is. Yeah. I believe it is.
I believe that's how it works. So that's cool. And then last on this team, we have the Don himself, Don Fan, because his older brothers are in OU for now. So he's down here. It's not going to last long. Eventually, Iron Treads will fall and Don Fan will fall next. But he's here now, so that's fine.
I still like Don Heavy Fan. Duty. I like
Don Fan too. He's just outclassed by Iron Treads, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All of the Chigatons that I'm seeing are all Terra Dark, and I cannot figure out why.
I don't understand. What's hitting Tinkaton?
It has to be for, like, maybe you need it for, like, a knockoff calc. Maybe?
Or maybe is there something that's, like, psychic that you need to just stop?
Well, but you're steel type already, so...
Maybe ghost? Could be to help against the psychic terrain teams.
Maybe it can stop the... Oh, maybe it's Armor Rouge. Maybe it can KO Armor Rouge with a knockoff, and it resists the expanding force.
Yeah.
Mm. Great. Maybe. Why is it not just going for flamethrower if it's Armor Rouge or fire move, armor cannon?
I don't know. Maybe they expect the switch out. But anyways, like I was saying, Don Fan, heavy duty boots, sturdy, Terra type ice. I'm not super keen on that. It gives you the ice shard boost, but 92 HP max attack with 164 in speed, adamant nature, earthquake, knockoff, ice shard, and rapid spin. That is a Don Fan.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it's
it is.
It's a Don Fan.
That is what Don Fan do.
I actually really like this team. I'm playing right now again, actually.
Yu Yu seems like it's a really fun meta just based on what's there.
Yu Yu, this is actually really fun, and it's like a meta that I understand. So I'm having, honestly, a really good time. And yeah, if you want to grab this team, it's going to be up on the Patreon. I'm going to do this Sunday because if I don't, the home is going to update and then you're not going to get it. And I want you to have this team because I really like it. But yes, if you want this team, feel free to go ahead and get it. I think you will have just as much fun with it as I have. And I would love to see what you guys come up with. So. Yeah, that's going to be it. We're going to kick it on over now, guys, to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
Mail! Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can go ahead and send in your emails to us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. We typically have a prompt. Last week we asked you guys what your favorite team was and why. Evil team, that is. Of course, you can send anything else in as well. But we've got three emails for you today. They are all wonderful. We apologize if we miss your email. We are recording very early this week. We usually record on Saturdays. Today is Thursday because summer is upon us. And that's just taking lots of trips right now.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you're not doing Thursday for next weekend for the holiday.
I probably am.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Let me know if people can't do it. I'll hop on for a fourth week in a row or something like that.
Yay. I really like hanging out with Claude. All right. So without further ado, though, we've got a couple emails. Let's jump into... Oh, before I forget, though... this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
Hooves!
And as always, we'll give the Green Tauros badge to anybody we think is writing a good email. All right, this one is from Car Eternal. Yar, me mateys! Car here. It's my first time writing in, but I just had to comment on one of my favorite aspects of fiction, the bad guys.
Dun dun dun! Sorry, I thought...
Firstly, how can we give out all these awards and not mention the music associated with each villainous team? I hereby encourage the awards committee to consider the Best Taste in Music Award, name pending. For me, it's a hard decision between Team Plasma and Team Skull. Getsis has such a bad theme that when you fight him, the music says his name. On the other hand, I find I find most other Plasma members only have a so-so battle theme. Guzma and his crew have the advantage that literally nothing else in the game sounds like their hip-hop record-scratching tunes. For that reason, I give it to Un-Un Team Skull! Insert Guzma battle music here. I would if we weren't going to be posted on YouTube.
I mean, you could probably get away with it. But
we could probably get away with it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pokemon doesn't do it that badly, except for Marnie's theme.
No, that's true.
No Marnie's theme allowed.
Yeah, right?
There is a bot that'll come for you if you try to put Marnie's theme in a video, but everything else is okay.
Secondly, I was fascinated by the group's discussion related to the recent evil teams in the franchise. The gang was talking about how the teams weren't really evil anymore since Team Skull. The reality is it's just hard to define evil in a way that everyone agrees upon. Have recent teams been trying to end and or take over the world? No.
Yes. What was Rose trying to do?
Well, that's really just the...
Team Skull wasn't evil either, though, so I don't know. He was trying to save the world, but on a very...
He was actually trying to save the world in a really twisted way.
Very strict timeline. He was on a very strict timeline, for some reason.
Yeah, he, like, had a very specific way he wanted to save the world.
He needed it done now, and Leon was late to a dinner, so...
Yep, something like that.
We don't talk about the story of Sword and Shield. It's not great.
And we don't talk about Bruno either.
No.
We do talk. Bruno's nice.
No, we don't talk about him.
No, but that really just the mentality of a Saturday morning cartoon evil mastermind. Not to wax too philosophical here, but what is evil? Is it evil for Sada/Turo to distance their own child and pour into potentially deadly experimentation based on an obsession with the past and future?
Yeah, but they didn't have any minions.
That is true.
They weren't a team because they were only a solo person.
They were no teams. My wording is probably enough to make it clear that I personally do. The same ends up being true for Lusamine under the effects of Nihilego. Even my beloved Guzma is undoubtedly evil. I work in an alternate education program, and I've had multiple students previously involved in gangs. Real games often do become a toxic form of a found family, especially for the types of kids we see in Team Skull. It starts as good intentions, but then stress and tempers like Guzma's flare up. Team Skull are more than a nuance. They've literally taken over a town and kicked the inhabitants out. They might not be the primary antagonists of Sun and Moon, but that doesn't make them innocent. This trend of morally gray antagonists isn't new either. Teams Aqua and Magma both generally believe their plans will benefit the world. I'm not trying to write an essay, though, so I'll cut it off there. Been a big fan of the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Cheers, Car Eternal. My favorite moment of an evil team trying to prove that it was evil after trying to do, like, the gray line is Team Plasma, where, like, Team Plasma's like, release your Pokemon, they don't like being captured. They go ahead and they start just, like, kicking a Muna in the next scene so that you know they're the bad guys.
I mean, it's weird because there were, like, two factions within Team Plasma, and you find that out in Black 2 and White 2. Because the ones who actually believe the sayings of N of wanting to free the Pokemon, and they care about how well the Pokemon are, and then there's just the evil pirates.
Yes. Black 2 and White 2 add so much context to those games.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really upset when we get the remake, because there's no way they do it justice, probably.
One can dream.
Probably not.
There's just no way. I just have very little hope that they do it proper justice.
But yeah, I like Black 2 and White 2 a lot, despite nobody buying it.
Well, now the games are like 60, 70 bucks, so.
Black 2 and White 2 is some of the best in the... They're more than that. They're like 100 and some dollars now. Yeah, they're pretty bad. All right. Well, before we go into the cost of video games, we've got Trash Panda.
Yeah. Hey, Puckle Crew, it's Ethan, or Trash Panda on the Discord. I'm going to use the superlative brought up on the podcast, starting with the most feasible plan. I'm going to give this one to Team Rocket. Their plan was pretty simple, still pretty normal. Other teams I considered were Yell and Star. Team Yell doesn't count as an evil team, so there's that. Team Star wanted to fight back against the bullies, but their plan to do so was not feasible. Let's build cars out of Pokemon and convince people to drop out of school.
Okay, to be fair, they did not think through their plan.
No, and they lost their leader too, so...
Yeah, they did breakfast planet club it pretty well, though.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite story of the three, but...
No, I liked it because I thought it was interesting enough. I don't know, like, Pokemon, when... I feel really bad saying this because, like, I'm playing Tears of the Kingdom right now, as is the rest of the world.
It's a very good game.
I'm playing it, and I look at, like, all the character development and stuff that's in it, and then I'm just like, this is a good Zelda game. Like, I just feel like this is good. It feels good. And then, like, if Pokemon were to do anything close to that, I would be like, this is the best video game of all time. Thank you, Pokemon, for doing the basic requirements of a modern-day video game. And like, my bar for Pokemon is so much lower than any other franchise.
See, I thought the Titan story, I thought Arvin's story in general was pretty good. Both.
Yes, I liked Arvin's story.
It was really, okay, the story, Arvin's story is the best in Scarlet and Violet.
Like, there's not much of it, and there's just enough to say, yeah, actually, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that we get more in the DLC. Like, I'm hoping that, like, they evolve in the DLC, which I think they will, because it's still called, like, the Secrets of Area Zero.
Mm-hmm. Arvin's pretty tied to Area Zero.
And Arvin's, like, intimately tied to that. Yeah. Okay, but continue.
For the most successful, this is where I have to give it to Team Star. Not only did they successfully get rid of the bullies, they weren't punished for it. Instead, they are in charge of the battle training camps, where they do the exact same thing as before. I forgot there were battle training camps as part of the end of that story. That sounds terrifying that a school has battle training camps.
Well, how are you going to go to war with Kalos again?
Especially when they have Megas and you don't.
Yeah, but you have Terastal.
That's true. Megas, I think Megas are better.
Terastalization is nothing to Megas.
Terastal can beat the Megas easily.
I think Megas... I miss Megas.
Same.
I miss Megas too. For the most villainous, it's going to Team Galactic for the same reason as I said in the podcast. Destroying the universe as we know it and erasing all memory of its existence in the first place. Very rude.
That's rude to me. I would say that.
Yeah. Very rude.
For coolest characters, and I will probably get hate for this, is going to Team Skull. Guzma has a very unique backstory, with him being rejected as a captain, and so he beat his dad with a golf clubs and ran away. The grunts are some of the funniest in the series, and if we are going to count and in Team Plasma, I feel like Gladion should count for Team Skull. I just think he's cool. That's fair.
Was Gladion involved in Team Skull? Was he like...
Yeah, he was like one of their admins, technically speaking.
Really?
Wasn't he like... Lusamine's child or something like that?
He just, like, when he started off, he was, like, he was introduced as, like, a Team Skull admin.
Really?
And then, like, it was irrelevant by the time he got to the Third Island because he was more tied into the Aether Foundation.
Wow. All right.
Actually, yeah, he's a Team Skull enforcer. Would you look at that? He works for Team Skull as an enforcer and serves as a rival character, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, he was introduced as Team Skull, and then, like, it instantly didn't matter because Aether Foundation was more important.
To be fair, like, Sun and Moon, like, story-wise was written very well, but Scarlet and Violet was significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it can continue, though.
For the most stylish, this is going straight to Team Flare. No questions asked. My reasoning for this is that while I was listening to the hosts discuss the category, I was looking up Team Flare's outfits online for this upcoming Halloween. I think they're so cool, and I now want to own a Team Flare outfit. Someone, please message me on the Discord server if you know where I can get one.
Etsy.
Yeah. Okay, good. Claude and I are on the same page.
I think there's a cosplay website you can look it up too, but anyways... Thanks for all the fun topics and giving me reassurance that I will eventually find people to talk Pokemon with in person. Trash Panda.
One day. All right, thank you for that. Our next one is going to be from Trev, the late night legend.
Hey, it's Trev. About to start my weekend early with binging Zelda and doing my PFTT and TCG matches. We are actually playing tomorrow, so that's going to be fun. As of recording this, by the time this comes out, we'll have done it.
Exciting.
That'll be like 3 days away. These 3 days from when this publishes.
So he'll know I'll be playing something silly. Anyways, I see y'all in the recording studio earlier this week, and I thought I'd write up a quick email. First off, even mentioning the name of Team Yell in last week's episode was giving them too much credit. They are bad and should feel bad, and they're bad at being bad. Yep.
All of these things are true.
In the movie Wreck-It Ralph, Zangief says, "Just because you are a bad guy doesn't mean you are a bad guy." That's my bad impression of it, but still.
Yeah.
Iconic line.
I accept it.
It's apparent that Zangief never heard of Team Yell. I get the point of them being in the game is to be obnoxious and annoying, but I wish there was more opportunity for them to say to them, screw you, I'm out takes here. Okay. And ignore them.
Okay.
Okay.
Team Aqua and Team Magma were a fun team because as bad and short-sighted as their plans were, they were clearly and misunderstood, even if stupid.
Also, they all realize their mistake after they, like, enact their plan. They're like, uh-oh.
It's kind of why I didn't like Rainbow Rocket as much, but that...
Yeah. Rainbow Rocket was okay.
I found it a little disappointing. I think more old characters should have shown up.
As a side note, I remember how cool it was to team up with Lance and raid Team Rocket's hideout in Mahogany Town to save the Magikarp.
See, that was cool.
That was cool.
I wish we got more interactions with other, like, NPCs.
Steven raiding the Emerald, what is it, the Space Base? That was kind of cool, too. The Mos Deep Space Station?
In Auraz.
Or all of the, like, companion adventures that you had to have for Diamond Pearl.
Those were less fun because I didn't care about those characters. They never were relevant afterwards.
It was free grinding time, is how I saw it. But anyways, the line between another Team Rocket clone and forgettable bad guys in the background is harder and harder to tread with each new generation. But I look forward to seeing what future generations will use to fill in the evil team slot in the Pokemon formula in future games. Trev, the late night legend.
Well, thank you for that. All right, who do we think did a good job this week?
I want to give it to Carr, because it was his first time writing in.
I kind of do as well.
Yeah, that's fine.
Carr, you got it. We'll give it to you on the Discord. All right, and then on that note, guys, we're going to go ahead and we are going to ask you to submit to the show next week by going to PucklePodcast.com and letting us know what your top and bottom fighting types are. Of course, if you want to keep up with the show throughout the week, the best way to do so is to come to our Discord server at PuckleDiscord.com.
Can I give a bonus mailbag question?
What's your bonus mailbag question?
Tell us your favorite type of taco. Great.
Okay, that's fair.
That's a great bonus question.
Actually, that's a good bonus question.
What's your Taco Bell order?
No, what's your favorite type of taco?
No, favorite type of taco. There's more than Taco Bell.
I know.
You can also go ahead and follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Additionally, you can catch us on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. I should be back to streaming once all of this travel is over. There's just so much travel. So much travel. It never ends.
Lots of travel. I assume it's not vacations.
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm like early in my career, so I just travel a lot right now, and it's a time. Certainly a time. But of course, you can also keep up with us on Discord, like I said. But additionally, please come and if you want to support the show, you can go ahead and go to Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. Or if you're buying TCG cards because we got you hooked or you were hooked before we got to you, you can go to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 for 5% at checkout. And we get a little bit of a kickback for that too.
Kickback.
So we really appreciate you guys doing that. But yeah, on that note, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been R Sigma.
And I've been Claude Nye.
Here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.